Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
On now to our weekly listener question, always sent to us at business@hot1027.co.za. Let me give you that mail address again. It's business@hot1027.co.za. And this week, Santosh writes, and Santosh, thank you very much indeed. It's a sharp query about forex transactions, and particularly the role of something called intermediary banks. If both the sending and receiving banks, he says, are on the SWIFT system, why do we need a middleman? Is this just an outdated process, he asks, or do these banks still play a meaningful role in modern finance? Well, I can think of no better person to answer that. He's been a regular guest on our program in the past, Harry Schertzer, Chief Executive Officer, Future Forex. He's an expert in international payments and currency markets. So, Harry, good evening to you and welcome. Let's start simply. What exactly does an intermediary bank do in modern cross-border forex transactions?
Good evening, Jeremy. Great to chat to you again. And this is, as you said, a very, very sharp question regarding intermediary banks. So I'll start off by, as you've asked, mentioning what a intermediary bank actually does and why they're required in the first place. And what it comes down to is that the SWIFT messaging system is not a simple one. It's complex and it prioritizes safety and security over practicality. And so what that means is that if you want to send money to a bank, you need to basically be integrated with them on the SWIFT system. And that's a complicated process. So what often happens is that smaller banks, rather than integrating with a number of other banks across the world, they'll integrate with one bank or a handful of banks and use those banks as the intermediary bank because they'll have a bigger network of banks that they can then talk to, which obviously adds a leg to this transaction. So instead of going straight from A to B, you have to go from A to C, and C can help you get to B. And that's what an intermediary bank effectively does. It is the in-between, allowing Bank A and Bank B to talk to each other because they can't quite talk directly because they haven't integrated.
And just for clarification's sake, we're talking about SWIFT. That's the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. And effectively, it's just a global messaging network, right?
That's correct. It's a global messaging network, which was actually created back in 1973. And the reason that it's still used today, over 50 years later, is because it's been proven to be extremely safe. And when people are moving their money internationally, safety and security is their top priority. Of course, the offset of it being outdated technology and an old school messaging system means that while safety is very strong, the speed and the practicality of it is very weak, which is why you have things like intermediary banks needing to be required for Bank A to send to Bank B.
And that's the key observation, that it might be a relic of the past, and maybe it made sense in the manual era, but is it still adding real value today? I guess you'll say it is because of the safety and security component that you've just mentioned.
Well, that's exactly it. If we can find something that's equally safe or safer, which is faster and which is more practical, where you can almost add someone as a beneficiary, as we do on our banking apps, yet the safety is equally as strong, people would move to that very quickly, you'd think. And nothing's really challenged the SWIFT system in safety and security until potentially crypto more recently. So what we've seen is, with cryptocurrency, we've seen that it is safe and secure when both parties know what they're doing. The problem is that if either party doesn't know what they're doing, or if a scammer or fraudster is involved, that's where these things can be sort of intercepted and interfered with, which is why there's this big push that a use case of crypto would be international payments, and it can almost replace SWIFT because it's far quicker, it's far easier, it's far cheaper. But is it as safe? Is it as safe? The answer is yes, if everyone knows what they're doing. We know that it's the technology itself is very safe. But when humans are involved and making errors or being fraudulent, that's where it gets difficult. And remember, with SWIFT, it's a messaging system between the banks. Crypto is being sent between individuals, which is why it's susceptible to fraud and susceptible to errors far more easily than SWIFT is.
So I guess Santosh would also want this question answered. These intermediary banks, do they charge fees? And if so, how transparent would these be to the end user?
So they do charge fees is the first thing, and we have to be aware that they've productized this intermediary feature. So what they've done is they've said some big bank like Wells Fargo in America has said, we have a huge network of banks, use us as an intermediary bank, and we will charge for that. And what they're really doing is they're doing AML checks, anti-money laundering checks. They're doing KYC checks, know your client checks, on the money, because obviously they need to also ensure that the money is legitimate and nothing is going through their system, which shouldn't be. And so that's how they justify charging. But on top of that, of course, they're productizing this and making a profit off it. So they do add to the costs, there's no doubt about it. They're not particularly transparent on what those costs are, and the reason they're not is that their relationship is not with the end client, it's with the partner bank. So if you're using a South African bank and sending to a bank abroad, which uses an intermediary bank, there's an agreement between the local bank and the intermediary bank as to what's being charged there, and the local bank will simply add that into the fees that they charge the client. So it is all being charged to the client eventually, but not in a very transparent way, if that makes sense.
But consumers or businesses, I guess, need to ask their service providers questions to ensure that they're not overpaying due to unnecessary intermediary fees, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I absolutely understand what you're saying, and you're 100% right. And I think there's a big element of lack of transparency around the banking system in South Africa in particular as a whole. And I've spoken about this at length, the idea that the lack of transparency by South African banks is something they use to their advantage because they end up charging fees that clients simply don't know about. For example, putting a massive spread on a rand-dollar exchange, clients don't even know they're being charged money in the form of unfavorable exchange rates very often, or they don't realize the extent to which that unfavorable exchange rate is affecting them. So I completely agree with you, Jeremy. It's a industry which is sort of rife for disruption, and Future Forex, my company, is actually coming into the market to do exactly that and to be more transparent with clients around these fees.
Is the entire process in any way regulated?
It is regulated, but my issue is that it's regulated in the way where it says you must tell clients what rate they're getting, right? So clients, maybe the rand is at 18 to 1, and clients see you'll get this many dollars, and here's the rate, 18.36 to 1 is what we're charging you. And the truth is, while they're doing everything by regulation, because they're showing that they're showing the rate they're giving them, what they're not doing is saying, our rate is 18.36 to 1. The spot rate is 18 to 1. Our fee comes to whatever it is, 20,000 Rand in the form of a 2% commission. You know, they don't show it that explicitly. They simply say 18.36. So now they've adhered to regulation. They've shown what the rate is being charged, but you have to be extremely financially literate to actually back check what that means in Rand terms.
Santosh, I hope that we have answered your question. And as Harry said, it is a very sharp one indeed. Harry Schertzer, thank you very much indeed, Chief Executive Officer of Future Forex. I appreciate your time tonight. If you have a question around financial matters, we do this every Wednesday on Hot Business. Just drop me a mail at business@hot1027.co.za. That's business@hot1027.co.za. And we will endeavor to find the very best person to answer your question. Harry, good night and thanks.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.